It's my birthday today, and I'm celebrating by doing Talk Story. This is the longest-running talk show on Maui. Been doing it 32 years, and I have a fantastic show to do today. I'm very excited about this show, actually. I've got the amazing, one-of-a-kind photographer, National Geographic photographer and marine biologist, Flip Nicklin, who just got home from an amazing day out in Lahaina, studying the whales out there, as he's done so well. And it's been interesting what he's been doing. And, of course, I've got Dana on from Whale Trust. And, yes, Whale Tales is happening. It kicks off with whale events. Actually, this Thursday is an event that you have at Kohala, right? Is that right, Dana?
That's right. In partnership with Kohala Brewery, we've kicked off a Talk Story series at the brewery. Thursday night, we'll get to hear from Haley Robb, our research assistant, and Ralph Pace, one of our research photographers, at 6 p.m. So Whale Trust will be set up there from 4 to 7 p.m. on Thursday.
And what's exciting is there are a few tickets left. I mean, we're talking just a limited amount of tickets left for an amazing adventure this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, getting out with the whales, leaving from either Lahaina Harbor or Mala. And what's going to be happening with those particular whale watches, Dana?
So those whale watches, we're excited to share. We're bringing back again this year thanks to the generous support of our whale watch partners. So, yeah, we have a limited number of whale watches this weekend. All proceeds support Whale Tales beneficiaries. And definitely get online at whaletales.org to find tickets that are still available. There are seats available on whale watches all 3 days, the 18th, 19th, and 20th.
And who's going to be out on those, leading those whale watches?
It'll be a mixture of some of our research associates. We have, because we're not doing a full in-person event this year, we have a limited group available. So we're working with our research partners and with these incredible Whale Watch partners to make sure that guests get to learn while they're on board. And it'll be a surprise on a couple of them.
So, and you have for a long time working with Ritz-Carlton Kapalua for that amazing chocolate and talk with Flip Nicklin, which is sold out, but you know, you never know, maybe something might open up. But that's on Sunday. That's going to be, I mean, what could you ask for more? I mean, really, chocolate and Flip in chocolate.
Right, exactly.
Flip in chocolate.
Exactly. So that chocolate tasting is in partnership with Maui Kuia Estate Chocolate.
Oh, I love them.
And yes, they're a wonderful partner, and we're excited to have that opportunity to hear from Flip, and Dr. Gunnar Valkiers will be sharing that tasting, curated tasting.
Oh, my.
Yes, unfortunately, it is sold out, but we're hoping to make that an event we can bring back again next year. It sold out quite quickly.
Flip, have you met Gunnar yet?
Oh, no, he's been a tremendous supporter of Whale Trust and Whale Tales for years and years. One of the people who makes it happen at a point when we thought we might, during the recession, go away. He's one of those people that kept us going.
He's amazing.
He is a tremendous, tremendous person.
And good chocolate, too.
And great chocolate.
Good. Yes. So that's just, yes. Yes, I love their chocolate. I love, love, love their chocolate.
I can tell you a quick story. Is that I got my mother and stepfather involved in the first one we did, and they sent the chocolate with instructions, but my mother really loves chocolate and didn't read the instructions, so they ate the chocolate all before the event started, so there was nothing to eat during it. And I said, well, Mom, that might have been a mistake, and she said, it was never a mistake to eat chocolate.
I totally agree. Having just had Valentine's Day, and I had chocolate fudge for my birthday for breakfast today, and then I had the chocolate cake at noon, and I am definitely with your mother on that. She's absolutely correct.
Perfect.
So, Flip, you've been involved in doing this amazing photography. You were actually at the birth of when some of these great whale pictures and photos became popular, and what a gift to be able to work with the National Geographic, one of the most respected careers you could ever say is I'm a photographer with a National Geographic. I mean, all you have to say is that, and you know, doors open, right? I mean, that's quite an honor.
Well, I never dreamed. I was my dad got involved with National Geographic after riding a whale and some of a famous event in 1963, and a whale that was stuck in a line, and my dad took pictures of it and movies of it, and then the whale came up under him, and if someone took a picture of him on the back, and that ran across country, and they had him on an old game show called To Tell the Truth.
Wow, I remember
that.
He
flew him to New York, he was on that, and Bates Little Hales from National Geographic saw that, got in touch with my father, because my father was a whale expert, he'd seen one.
Wow. Wow. So it's in the family, it's in your DNA.
Well, he did the first big documentary, Gentle Giants of the Pacific, he was filming it. He did the first Geographic story. He's in the lead story in 1979. And I came here with him doing an IMAX film called Nomads of the Deep in 1979, thinking I would see whales once and visit here, and met Jim Darling and the researchers. And we had a pivotal day on March 10th, 1979. We ran into Frank, the first singer we found where we could find them not swimming around but stationary down below the boat. So I could dive down, take a picture of its belly and find out the sex. And Jim invited me to come back and try and find out what if all the singers were males, which they were. And I started working as a researcher, and that led into Geographic Stories. And that was 43 years ago. I've been doing whales ever since.
And you have some amazing stories to tell. You're a good storyteller. You're a good storyteller. And I'll tell you, it's in the blood. If you know and understand the love of the ocean, the love of the whales, there's like this whole group of you, isn't there, that you've met actually over the years, a lot of them with the Whale Trust and Whale's Tales, right?
Oh, I feel so lucky. Well, I met Jim, and Roger Payne was on that trip. I worked with, for people in the audience who are whale people, I got to work with Ken Norris, with Hal Whitehead, with Roger Payne, with all these people who were the pioneers, and then a bunch of young people who have come along. And I mean, I just got off the boat with Haley Robb, who's 27, and Ralph Pace, who's 36, and
wow,
they're less than half my age, and bring new enthusiasm and new tools and new ideas, and really keep the whole thing going.
So your books include, well, there's so many, but some of them include With the Whales, Whales, Dolphins, and Porpoises. That's on National Geographic Books. Yep. And then Among Giants, A Life with Whales. And you're working so closely. You have so many thousands and thousands. I bet there's no way to ever guess how many thousands of pictures you've taken of whales.
And hang on one second.
I'll talk.
There's somebody at the door.
Okay, I'll talk to Dana while you answer the door. So Dana, you know, you have so many beautiful people that you've worked with on this thing that you're going to be able to share with people in a virtual event coming up in March, right? March
20.
Oh, I'm back. Oh, wait. Well, okay. Well, I was just asking Dana about the virtual live stream event that's happening March 26th and 27th.
Yes. So, in partnership with the Ritz-Carlton, Kapalua, we're excited to bring back the virtual event, just like we did in 2021. The reach of that event and the enthusiasm that we heard internationally was such that we just felt like we needed to continue with that. And so we're bringing it back to the virtual platform this year in hopes that in 2023 we can do a fully hybrid event and do some kind of live streaming. But this year we're excited to have over 30 speakers involved from literally every corner of the world. And we're in the middle of producing that. So it'll be a live stream over 2 days plus an on-demand library of videos. A cakey corner. We've built out a much larger kids section of the site this year. And then we also have several partners throughout Hawaii that'll be involved in our expo, which will be kind of an education learning expo in that virtual platform as well.
I'm so glad you've included the cakey. I think that's very, very important that you've included the cakey section of this as well. Because keiki are our future, as we know, and they have a fascination. You know that. They love learning about the whales, and parents love having their kids getting involved learning about the ocean and the whales.
And I think we've, from the beginning, have had the kids' events. And actually, I think it's good to tell this. We've taken out, there's Abby Rogers, whose father is manager at the Ritz, is a journalist, and I think it's Junior Time magazine. I forget, but she's written about living in China, and she's come out as a child reporter and came out with this today with Andrew.
Wow.
And reported on what we were doing, and it was really, really cool to have what I think is very young Haley and Ralph, and then to have a 10-year-old come in and give it a really fresh look.
Well, if you look at the history, as you have over these years, and you have to look back at some point, Flip, and go, it's a long, long way. You've come from where the whales were almost extinct here. The humpback whales were facing extinction. Sometimes we forget that here. A large, large effort was done to completely understand, learn, and respect and protect the whales. And along with that, there's been so much we've learned in that time. What are some of the key things you think that were highlights that you've learned over the last 30 years or 40 years of doing this?
Well, a bunch of things. And you're absolutely right. When I came in, the population in the North Pacific was of humpback whales was probably around 1,500. And the last survey in 2006, whatever, it was 18,000 to 20,000, and they continued to do very well. And the idea, Frank, the singer we found, until that time, the idea that you could find the whales doing behaviors and actually look at them underwater and photograph them while they were doing it and study them, it caused Jim Darling to change his PhD thesis. And my father was photographing the idea that you could not just shoot a whale going by and talk about science, you could talk about the science you were looking at. And so Frank, in 79, is up to find out that singers were males. As soon as we knew singers were males, we just assumed they were calling females over. When we came back and started doing stuff in 96, we sat with singers and found out that who comes to singers isn't females, but other males. Not that they're not involved with mating, but it's a different system than the obvious. And then it's continued into really changing things. Recently, these surveys with remote vehicles to look at and mostly listen for whales between here and Mexico and here and Asia, and to find out there are singers for 1,000 miles east of here.
Wow.
You know, our whole picture is continually changing. Not that we were wrong, but it was really incomplete, and we keep filling the dots in.
You know, I just realized you called him Frank as a Frank Sinatra, didn't you?
No, oh. But the people say that, or Frankie Valli, depending on your age and stuff. But it was actually the sixth whale group of the day, A, B, C, D, E, F. F is in Frank.
I got it. I thought you had a sense of...
Yours on your birthday is a much more romantic approach.
He's a singer, you know, he's a wonderful singer. And do whales have blue eyes, Flip?
No, not that I know of, but who knows?
Okay. I say old blue eyes, but...
I think that's a really good point. You know, and I came in, my father had, as I said, did, you know, Gentle Giants of the Pacific, and the tremendous popular support and interest of whales, even beyond the science, the whole myth, the whole idea of whales and save the whales, was a really strong, strong thing. When we started, mostly our focus is research and peer-reviewed research to pass on information to change how we look and make decisions about the animals. But I think with whales, as we went along, getting more involved with whale watching, with art, and basically, there's Ken Norris, one of the grandfathers of whale research, talks about when you look at whales, what you know, what you feel, and what you think all have value. Just be clear which one you're talking about.
Mm. Well, I have to say, you know, now we are past the extinction point. However, we see all kinds of interesting things coming where people want to go back to killing whales for food in Japan. I don't know how that is, but it seems like one of the bigger dangers now is the plastic and the pollution of the ocean, which we never would have guessed 30, 40 years ago.
You know, I think that's maybe the biggest thing with whales as an iconic animal to bring us into caring about. And if you care about them, you find out everything's connected. That basically, if you want to have whales, you need to have everything else working too, which isn't just good for them, it's good for us. You know, you can't. We live in Alaska where they're feeding all the time. If you don't have krill, if you don't have herring and fish to feed, if you don't have a healthy ocean, it's bad for them, and of course, it's bad for us.
Yeah, and this is such a big threat for not only us, but I mean, you think of all the entire ocean system now having plastic in it, you know. And there's so many wonderful people, but it is people like you went out with today, and a lot of people in the younger generation that are going to be left with having to deal with this, right?
And I think they're very conscious. I look at just going out, and I love working with. I mean, I probably wouldn't be doing a third of what I'm doing if it weren't for people like Haley and Ralph dragging me along and making it work for us. But I look at Haley. When Jim and I started, we're going out with no hats and no sunglasses and, you know, sunscreen with number 4 or something like that, and no shade on the boat. And Haley's wrapped up like a Bedouin with all the proper gear and all that stuff to be healthier, much more knowledgeable about all the things going on. And I'm trying to teach them a few things, but I'm learning much more than I'm teaching.
Well, if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to the great photographer Flip Nicklin and also Dana with Whale Trust, whaletrust.org, Whale's Tales, kicking off. There are a few tickets left to go on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on Whale Watches with the experts. And on Thursday, a few tickets left to go to the fundraising event happening Thursday at Kahala. And there will be a virtual event coming up in March 26th and 27th as well online at whaletrust.org. I do want to ask you, because you're such a great photographer, think of also not just the whales, but think of how over the years the photography has changed. I mean, my gosh, now I assume everything is all digital you do now. I mean, that's the way everything's gone, right?
It's amazing. The tools are so much better. Not just the cameras, but what you can do in post-production. And again, we had Russell Brown from Adobe out there in 2020 showing us things, how we could handle product better. You can take pictures. I can take old pictures that didn't really do it and bring them to life to show what was going on so clearly with new techniques. And again, Ralph Pace has been very good for helping with that.
Well, when you have as many thousands of photographs you have, do you have to go back and reassess and digitize that whole library?
But yes, and luckily, I find the secret for editing is don't take too many really good pictures. You know, so when you go through the stuff we did, is there's lots and lots of pictures, and about for me and for a lot of people, for me probably the vast majority go, why the heck did I do that? The thing is, now you've got so many images. I've got thousands of images in the camera rather than 36.
Yeah.
But still, we've had it. I've shot as much today as I've shot in years, but it'll come down to a dozen pictures by in 2 days. You know,
wow.
The best stuff will stand out, and most of the stuff is not the best stuff.
Do you know when you take that good one? Of course, it's happening fast with digital now, but do you know when you take that picture that that's the one?
You know, I still shoot like I'm shooting film.
Uh-huh.
So I hear guys where it's a machine gun going up, going,
yeah.
Me, I go snick, 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 snick.
Uh-huh.
And today, I know 4 situations that I think I got that I want to go and look for, and there'll be 5 or 6 close images, but I know when it was right, the light was right, the action was right, the behavior was right, and there may be some surprises in there too, but it won't. When I shot for Geographic magazine, I had assignments for as long as 2 years in the field. I could only show 80 pictures after 2 years.
Wow.
And so it's that same mentality as you get down to the good stuff, and it's not the good stuff, put it away somewhere, it's probably not going to get better.
So when you have these iconic pictures from all these years, do you at that some point, do you take those and are they framed? Are they sold? Are they available on your site? What do you do when you have a library as big of yours and some of them iconic pictures?
A wonderful thing happened in 1995. I'd been shooting for about 20 years. Lots of iconic whale stuff. I'd done a number of stories for Geographic. And my agent for 35 years has been Larry Minden from Minden Pictures. And this was going in before the dot-com crash. And he wanted to buy my collection. And for a significant amount for me. And I sold it.
Wow.
So he owns all that first 20 years of stuff. And with that money, we started Jim and I coming back here in 96.
Mm-hmm.
And bought a house, bought a car, bought a boat, and came back. And And Larry was just here with his wife visiting, and I thank him all the time. That made such a difference to free me up. I love the photography, but I was really always interested in the animals and what we're finding out about them. And I wanted to be a biologist when I was a kid. And I remember my eighth grade teacher telling me, with my academic skills, I should probably do something else. And he was right. And covering researchers, being a photographer, telling the story, it's been a wonderful, wonderful life.
What about NFTs?
Yeah, what about those things?
I don't understand it. But there's people making millions.
I saw that, and I made four of them. Composites over the stuff I've done in Wales. People always ask, what's your favorite picture? So I have now, I have my favorite picture from the first 20 years, and there's probably 40 images made into a, but I don't understand it. I don't do any of that. Larry Minden is still my agent with all the new stuff that he didn't buy, and anytime I have images, I give it to him, and he sells it, and they send me a check once in a while.
That's nice. It's good to have it's like an agent, right? I mean, it's like
He's been my agent it's a big agency for wildlife, and we've never had harsh words in 35 years, and
that's wonderful.
It's a good deal.
Well, you know, there was so much going on, Flip and Dana, when, I mean, people would be on tour, this would be a whole thing happening, but everything changed with COVID, as we all know. Last year, Dana, you couldn't even, did you even do Whale Trust last year, or was it just virtual? You just did the virtual part, right?
We were 100% virtual last year. Yeah, we even did a virtual whale watch last year.
A virtual whale watch. I love it. My gosh.
Yeah.
And then with you, Flip, you were in Alaska, and you basically you couldn't leave, right?
But that was so cool. I was the MC.
Wow.
I did all the introductions and stuff. I got all the, I talked to the people, did all this stuff. We put it together. And Dana, with people who knew how to do the tech stuff, weaved it together. So we had reporting from India and Russia and Scotland and all over the place. Things that we really couldn't do in an audience that was bigger and more diverse than we have when we're here. So it was a very successful, really interesting thing. I think whatever we do, we will continue to have some kind of virtual presence so people can participate who can't be here.
You know, I have to wonder, because there's all these stories about, while things were not as busy out there in the oceans and in the world and some streets naked for a while with no traffic whatsoever, did anyone do an impact study of what happened with the whales and the oceans and the sharks when there weren't so many people out there in the waters?
I think there'll be lots of stuff coming out of that, and remote sensing, how much sound was going on in different places. Jim got out here last year and did some work, but it'll trying to sort all that out away from the anecdotal and into the science. I think will show up over the next few years and be very interesting. Right now, we're enjoying pretty quiet. I mean, there are people around, but it's much quieter than usual out there, and it's very pleasant work.
Yeah. Well, wasn't it nice for you to finally get off from Alaska and come back to Maui?
Oh, we're so happy here. We came back in early November just because I wanted to jump in and see if I could still swim with big fins, and it's been great. It's been great. I've been out 24 days already, and we've had a number of really good days. We have great weather, and we'll talk about that stuff coming up a little bit this weekend, and then even more in March when we do the other parts of Whale Tales.
So what happened to the other events that you usually do talks for? Because that's part of your gig now, is doing talks worldwide. Was it all? Did you continue just virtually, or did it all stop?
I had a number of virtual talks, yes, and I did a thing. If you look on, I think it's YouTube, but I did a thing called Humpback Chronicles, and I just, because I was at home and we wake up and do stuff. We live in a nice place on the water, and we go for a walk every day. But once a week, I'd tell a story, and they're little stories, most of them 4 or 5 minutes, sometimes a bit longer, maybe some interviews. So I did 50 of those.
Wow.
And they're around, and they were on the Whale Trust link and on Facebook. But I told stories, and I liked that. It was fun.
You're a great storyteller. So was that on Facebook? You have a Facebook site? People can see that?
You can find it on the Whale Trust YouTube channel, and it's also linked from the Whale Trust website. But it's called Humpback Chronicles. And all the entire archive is there, and we're hoping to bring it back when Flip's not out on the water every day. We'll probably start having some episodes here after Whale Tales again.
Isn't that nice, though, to have that library? You think of something, and in a way, this is like a museum, isn't it? A virtual museum, isn't it?
And we talk, you know, the science and beyond, that whole idea of I feel, you know, we go out there, I'm going out with Kaylee and Ralph, and his son's coming up, and having our coffee, and us sitting next to a whale, and talking about the world we see and the whales we see, and share that, and you know, people come in with interest in whales, and there's a myth of whales, and whales are great, and to take that and add to it some of the stuff we've learned and things that make the whales even more interesting than you might think is it's a great thing to do. And telling that story and adding to whatever got people involved in the first place, it's great stuff to do.
I have to tell you, you know, it's so interesting. I'm a bird person. I love birds. And then, I mean, I'm always around birds, and I love birds. I've had birds. But there was, like, this bird that came the other day. And I've seen birds all my life, but this bird actually flew into my house. It jumped on my car to see me before I drove up. I came home, and it was waiting for me there. You know, every now and then something happens where there's some connection that's interesting that's made, right? I wonder if you ever made a connection, Flip, with a whale that you just
today,
felt... You did?
We had a whale, all the people, you know, here in Hawaii, all the number of people involved with whale watching or fishing or out of the water, everybody's had whales mug them and come around.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what happened to us today. The key thing was, it was animals, I don't want to give too much away, but it was a key study animal we're working with. So the kind of animal, the kind of behavior, we started out, it went, it changed into a couple of things, but there's one key animal we're following through a number of different behaviors. It was a female, and that female, no matter what else was going on, fell in love with, I like to think it was me and Ralph in the water, but actually I think it was more the boat, but it came back over and over and over again, even when you could tell males were sort of interested in maybe having her move away, And the best stuff was Ralph is laying on the back of the boat with just his face and the camera in the water and having her sit behind the boat just looking eye contact 4 feet away for long, long periods of time. Those moments, it is, I mean, what we're learning is one thing, we're following and changing behavior and what was going on. But the other part is, for whatever reason, today this animal decided we were worthwhile to look at. We were, or the boat was, whatever it was, that's a wonderful feeling.
That connection is really, I mean, it goes beyond words, really, but because it's the eyes, you know, it's the eyes connecting with the other eyes, and you don't need words for that.
You know, it's exactly that. And again, look, she's so interested. It may have been the fact that I was hanging next to the boat, but still, it's a special thing. And it, whether it's a squirrel or a whale, it's that same, that feeling is, it's a special connection. And you're right, it's all about the eyes.
Yeah, and you know what? Then when you take a picture, and I'm sure you got a lot of pictures of her. I mean, I know you don't name your whales, but you know who she is.
And we have one, well, occasionally we do.
You do?
those rare events, you know, Frank. The
yes.
first singer,
uh-huh.
the friendly whale in 1998, we had a whale that just loved the boat, loved singing into the hydrophone. But I'm not sure we have a name for her yet, but she may have a name.
So when you come back year after year, now you used to come back on a regular basis, a yearly basis, and so
I still do. Well, we worked until the mid 80s, and then I went off. I did all kinds of other geographic stuff all around the world. Then we came back full time. Every winter in 96, and except for last winter, we've been here every year.
So do you see some of the same whales you've made contact with and had photos of the other years? I know you can recognize them by their markings on their tails, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. But we definitely see them in Alaska. It's different. Here you have, especially the males are moving much more, and there's so many, there's maybe, I don't know, 8,000 or 10,000 whales coming through. In Alaska, where they're feeding, the same whales are in the same place for long periods of time.
Interesting.
So certainly in Alaska, we have a number of key animals that you see almost every day, you know, where they're going to be. Here, it's once in a while you pick them up, but there's so many, you probably don't know until you actually go through something like Happy Whale, where they use facial recognition to match tails, so you can take that picture, run it through Happy Whale and find out where that animal has been and who's seen it before. And in some cases, actually many cases, we send an ID in and find out whether I remembered or not that I've ID'd that animal before, either here or in Alaska.
That's very interesting, because I'd heard of this once before, but I don't know if a lot of our listeners are aware of what you're talking about. There was this sighting.
Happywhale.com. You can take a picture. You take of a whale, bottom of a tail of a humpback whale, and send it in, and they'll tell you where it's been and where else it's been seen by their people.
And that's all around the world, right?
Oh, yep. Well, you can, like, if you send it in here, there's a way to limit the search. You'd say North Pacific or whatever. And but yes.
Isn't that just to me so amazing?
It is.
And you know, because we have so many people who do come here on whale watches, there have been many people who've been inspired to become marine biologists just because they feel the magic when they go out on the waters.
I think Hawaii is tremendously important for starting people out, for testing new things. When I came in 79, Jim Darling was with a group of 13 different graduate students, and at least 8 of them went on to be major factors in research with dolphins, with killer whales in different parts of the world. And it's amazing how many people have got their start here or tried things here and then applied those other places.
And Dana, with Whale Trust and the origination and the history and the commitment, can you tell us a little bit about your commitment and the work you're dedicated to doing with Whale Trust?
Sure. So this is my 7th year, I guess, with Whale Trust, and I was originally hired to produce the Whale Tales event, but have been fortunate to get to work alongside the research team as operations director as well, and then annually put together Whale Tales as our largest outreach and fundraising event of the year. And so it's a privilege to get to work alongside Flip and the research team, and we're excited that we're able to bring Whale Tales back again this year, even with all of the changes over the last couple of years.
And it's kind of interesting how you are able to actually have an international connection, just like Flip was, working with people all around the world, and you do. And we've all seen this connection when we go virtual, reach out to people all around the world, right? And so all of a sudden you now have this huge audience that love Maui and love the whales, and maybe some of them came here before to Whale Trust and maybe some didn't, right?
Absolutely, yes. We had a number of survey comments last year that came through that said, you know, either they, you know, have never been able to be on Maui or, you know, would have missed it, and it was the first time they'd ever been able to participate in Whale Tales. And the event, you know, serves a unique purpose in being able to connect the public, connect the community with researchers from around the world and photographers all around the world. And so it's a unique opportunity to connect researchers that perhaps we would have a hard time bringing to Maui as well, and then also the international community to be able to hear from all of them.
Well, it takes a lot of work, a lot of interconnection, and of course funding and help from a lot of people as well to make this keep on going, right?
Absolutely. We are very thankful for our dedicated sponsors that stuck with us through last year, took a big chance on producing this virtual event in 2021 and have supported us through and again this year. So Makana Aloha Foundation and George and Marie Weiss are our two presenting sponsors, along with Lindblad Expeditions National Geographic. And then the Ritz-Carlton, of course, as our partner. So we're very thankful for those partnerships and support, and excited to be bringing it back this year.
So what are you finding on that research? What are the most popular subjects that people are looking at or watching when they go virtual? Can you tell what people like the most?
What they're watching when it's on the virtual platform?
Yeah.
let's see. Last year, actually, the most popular video last year was the humpback whale birth video that was shared by Captain Steve's rafting here on Maui.
Wow.
So, you know, that... I don't know if you and Flip, if you've heard about that video, but that was the first birth video that was ever filmed. So it was a partial birth. We didn't see the calf fully born, but we could see the fluke in the middle of the birth. And that video footage has since in partnership with Dr. Jim Darling and Debbie Patton from Captain Steve's, produced a paper out of that video. But yeah, that was the most popular video. I think it was an exciting, you could hear the enthusiasm, you know, during that video. And in that time last year, it was just an exciting time. But across the board, we had, you know, over 1,000 viewers involved in last year's event. And with the registrations going like they are, we're expecting to see the same this year and more. So we're excited. We're bringing back. We had this global check-ins last year in 2021, which was an idea that came up on the phone and kind of like you said, the interconnectedness. We sent out a couple of emails to ask if people wanted to do short updates, you know, not a full talk, but just a short introduction to talk to people around the world that maybe we hadn't heard from before. And that started from, I think, Philip, you may remember, maybe 8-10 emails initially, and it turned into almost 40 participants in sharing these little short 2 to 3 minute clips. And so we have the same this year with a lot of new voices involved in these little short clips to hear from researchers, like I said, in every corner of the world.
It's pretty much amazing how this growth, isn't it? I mean, when you started, Flip, there were probably a handful, you know, a circle of a very small circle of people, and everyone probably knew each other, right?
Yep. Unbelievable where it's gone. And the diversity, the number of people involved, not just scientists, but the people who just care about whales or the environment. But it's guys like Marty Wolf, a local artist, who a photographer, who has a completely different take, but it still loves whales. The number of people involved and the whole whale tales idea is never dreamed so many people would be involved.
And it's a beautiful thing, because the more people who understand and get to be inspired by whales, and there's something amazing about the inspiration, you know.
It changed how going to work in the morning, when there are a few little researchers, nobody really knew what we did, and there's scientific publications and Geographic once in a while. But the whole idea from the first Whale Tales was to tell people in the community what we were doing and ask for their support. And all of a sudden, and that support went to a number, not just Whale Trust, but a number of research groups around. And all of a sudden, when you went to the Harvard, the research group saw that they could work together in fundraising. And it really cut the number of calls with people not understanding why small boats with yellow flags were around whales down, because people knew that, or their friends knew that. It changed how we work in the world.
Well, it's been an honor and a privilege, Flip, to talk to you again. I always enjoy talking to you. And Dana, I'm so glad for the work you do. Again, people can go to whaletales.org. Is that the best site?
That's the site, whaletales.org. Registration is open, and it's we have early bird registration right now. And like I said, all of the proceeds from this event support the Whale Tales beneficiaries. Like Flip mentioned, from the beginning, this has been a collective impact fundraiser. So this is not a fundraiser that just Whale Trust does the fundraising and keeps the funds. We support beneficiary organizations, selected organizations, and their research as well through this event. So we can make a big impact through and also learn a lot through this event and get registered.
Well, thank you. Yes, go ahead,
and
Flip.
One last thing. Happy birthday and happy chocolating.
Thank you.
Yes, happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us on today.
What a treasure to be able to talk to both of you. I love you both, and have a wonderful rest of your event, and happy whale watching, and I'll be talking to you soon, maybe in March. Okay, Dana?
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Cindy.
Aloha.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Aloha.
All right. That was